Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, the 11th of June. So good to have you along. I'm Neil Stavem. It's Faith Radio Mornings underway, and it's the beginning of summer camp season is the sort of thing. Logan, you are a camp counselor?
Big camp counselor. Right? Oh, I'd do that the rest of my life if I could.
Really? My first year out of college, I did my one and only stint as a camp counselor. It was not a good experience.
You got enough of the bugs and the sun?
Well, I went there kind of early on and before camp started, and I was doing some work and got sick, got kind of a bad cold, and then the first week was junior high boys, and it didn't go very well. But a fellow counselor shared these words from Psalm 27 with me, and I've so appreciated it ever since. Psalm 27:13 says, "I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And I hung on to that verse through that week and the weeks after. Verse 14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. Thought about that experience and that verse as we read the stories, of course, of a couple of notable names in the news that had taken their lives, and the reality as well that the suicide numbers are up across the country. One of their reports said that they were in a dark place, and maybe you've been in a dark place. Hear those words from Psalm 27:13 today. "I would have despaired unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Take courage. Wait for the Lord." We'll talk about some hope for those that are in a dark place, talk suicide and more with Dr. Linda Mental. She joins us momentarily here on the early on the Faith Radio Mornings, and Dr. David Aikman will join us here in the second half hour, so stay tuned. It's 8 past the hour. Dr. Linda Mental joins us as we talk about another sobering subject. Dr. Linda Mental, of course, is heard each weekend here on Faith Radio. And Linda, I heard this weekend you're talking about, toxic people. So hopefully that wasn't a setup for today's conversation. I'm hoping
anyway. So. No. A different kind of idea about difficult people to live with.
Go. Okay. Yeah. So we just connect every once in a while. So we don't have to worry about that. Thank you for coming on again. I always love talking with you. You wrote, like many of us, you were stunned when you see the headlines about the people taking their lives, and it raises the question, the big why question.
Yeah, and I wrote a blog also today to kind of look at that. Why are we having such a rise in suicide? And it's a complicated issue. It's not something that you can just say, oh, this is the one thing that does it. It's like a lot of things in people's lives. It takes sometimes a perfect storm of things to come together, and then it creates a crisis point, and unfortunately for some people, a tipping point. I do think it's important, Neil, to remind people that less than half of the time people take their lives by suicide without any kind of diagnosable mental illness. And so that's what prompted me to write the blog that I posted today. Like, what's that about? What's going on with people? And when you look at the issues in people's lives and what we can see from looking at people who have actually been successful with suicide, we do see a multitude of other things, like loss of relationships, financial stress, feeling like a burden to other people, not understanding, finding a place to belong in their life, feeling a burden. I mentioned that one. That one seems to be a really big factor, along with loneliness. And then not having the coping mechanisms any longer because you're so taxed out on different things that it's really hard to pull it together. You begin to get into this hopelessness and the darkness that you mentioned, where you just don't see a way out. And of course, as Christians, we know that that's a deception, because God does say there's always a way of escape. But when you're in that position, you believe a lie, and you believe that there just is no other option.
And that is actually probably one of the challenges, isn't it? Because when you sort of spiral down, you don't really, you're not thinking clearly, right? So even though what you're believing is a lie, you can't sort of think your way out of it always.
Right. And that's where, then if you have a heritable trait that relates to something like impulsivity or anxiety or depression, there's something a little bit more you're predisposed to. With those heritable traits, along with this feeling of it's just intolerable to live another moment. It's interesting because people that take their lives are a lot of times very present moment focused. They just cannot make the pain stop. And the real goal is they just want the pain to end. They're not, you know, they're not so focused on death and the way they're going to do this and all that. They want it to end. They just don't feel that there is any way that they can tolerate going forward. And people that have been in a lot of pain, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, relational pain, whatever that pain is, get a little bit more desensitized to that pain and think that ending everything is a way to deal with it.
You know, I mean, it doesn't hurt to be present moment focused sometimes, right? But we have to keep the right, I guess, look at the big picture as well.
Well, you want to have the hope of a future. Mm-hmm. So it is, there's a lot of talk today on mindfulness and, you know, getting people into the present moment. And actually, I'm not saying that isn't a good thing, but it is an overdone Eastern religion kind of idea that you just you're present in the moment. But, you know, we have a God who says that there also is a hope in a future for your life. And there's the hope that what we are experiencing here is only a taste of what we're going to experience eternally. And so while we might have difficulty and trials here on earth, we have a religion and a faith that says it's only for a moment, and then we will be with the Lord, where there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more pain. So our hope is in the future, that future with God. So we've got to encourage people who are so desperate to say, you don't have to wait for God in the future. You can have God now in your life, and He can bring you a type of peace, a type of contentment that passes all understanding, is what Scripture says. You can't even understand the peace of God when God is in your life. Sometimes you're in a very difficult situation. This has happened to me many times when I think in the natural, I should be very anxious. I should be very, struggling. And yet I have this peace because of who God is in my life and because of the way His Holy Spirit operates in me in the present moment.
I was thinking as we learned about the suicides of Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, Kate in her 50s, Anthony early 60s, you'd think, well, that doesn't seem like a time of a season of life when this should be so prevalent. But that's when it's going up, right? The highest risk, I think, now is at that 45 to 54 age group.
Yes, that has increased 30% in the last few years. And one of the things that is kind of an interesting idea, I mentioned this in the blog today, is that a lot of times it's with people that have sort of a better than average life. And one of the reasons for that is that they have high expectations of what they should be doing. And they're comparing themselves a lot with other people and thinking that they should be happy, they should be addressing things. And so when you get somebody like that who has a tough time, it's harder to cope with failure because you're in the public eye in those cases, and you're seen as such a success. And yet you may not be having success in other parts of your life. And just a little bit that we know about those two people, they were struggling in relationships and with depression and other things that were going on. And so how do you handle failure in such a public way? And so the humiliation that comes, and this is where my heart just goes out to people, because what then develops, Neil, is this sense of self-loathing of, I'm an awful person. I'm not able. I have all this money and I still can't be happy. What's wrong with me? Why am I so bad when everything is so good? I'm, you know, they have worthlessness. They have shame. They have guilt. They have feelings of inadequacy and sometimes feelings of rejection. And while everything around them looks good, they feel rotten to the core. And so, you know, the gospel is such an antidote for that because we're all sinners. We're all inadequate and insecure. And, you know, we deserve the worst. And yet the gospel of grace is that God looks at us in our unworthy condition and he says, you're worth something because you're my child. And he gives us that grace, which is his unmerited favor. It's unmerited, but it's the grace of God. And that relationship can mitigate a lot of those feelings of self-loathing if people would allow God to do that work in their hearts.
Hanging on to grace, we want to bring it back to that all the time. And we're going to talk more with Dr. Linda Mintel in a moment. And as she addressed things like finding a place to belong and loneliness and, you know, how do we develop some coping mechanisms? We'll talk more with Linda in a moment on that. 16 past the hour on Faith Radio Mornings. Faith Radio Mornings underway. Dr. Linda Mintel joining us. Thanks for regular appearance with us. You hear her every weekend, 10:30 a.m. Central Time, 11:30 Eastern for the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I highly recommend it. It's great listening this weekend, this past weekend, talking about you know, getting along with difficult people. And you know, she talks about day in and day out, how do we do relationships better. And Linda, I want to ask you, as we've been talking a little bit about suicide today, that you're thinking about loss of relationships, one of the factors, and finding a place to belong and loneliness, it seems like those would be words where the church should play a key part in this, right? If we were really connected with each other, we wouldn't be dealing with some of these things.
Well, and I think that's such a great point, Neil. And, you know, you look at the crisis of loneliness in our country. In Great Britain, they've declared it a public health crisis, and they actually appointed a minister of loneliness in Great Britain. Now, the 9 million people, and they're looking and saying, all these people are feeling lonely. And you look at, you know, people that are struggling in their personal lives with whatever it might be, stress, finances, relationships, you know, work problems, all of that can come in. And then you put them in a culture of superficial connections, which is what Facebook and social media really are. And you then have them comparing themselves to other people because there's so much of that on social media and in the news. And then these expectations to succeed with no meaning or no purpose in their lives. It's not surprising. And it's not surprising because we have taken God out of the public square in a lot of ways. We don't mention God as a solution to anything. I was watching a television show last night. I recorded it and it was a medical show. And these people were, these two, the doctor and a paramedic, were in the middle of a fire zone. And they had one of those things you put over yourself so the fire goes over you. You hope it works. It's sure. Like a tent or a blanket. And they were in there and it was really telling. The woman was in there and they knew they could die if this fire consumed them and it was going over their heads. And she was like, say something to me, tell me something that will encourage me at this moment. And he comes up with a poem that somebody wrote. And I thought, wow, why wouldn't you say, you know, why wouldn't you quote a scripture that you might be in the fire and you're not going to be burned? That's the first thing that came to my mind was that scripture that God is our protector and he's with us and he's there. And there was no mention of God or anything from the Bible. And I thought that is what is going on. So people are left with this emptiness that if the church could really be the church and it could start connecting people in meaningful ways, And I've got to say that, you know, one of the reasons I left a very large church was because I would come and go. And this is not a criticism of every large church. But for me, it was so easy to come and go, and nobody even noticed if I was there or not. And I wasn't finding deep communication. And I know everybody says get involved in a small group, and that's what you have to do. And I even did that. But I found that people are so busy with their lives that to have meaningful connections with people in a church takes a lot of work. And I think this is a wake-up call for the church to say, how are we doing in that area where we're really connecting with people in meaningful ways, where in a difficult time in people's lives, and I know they're sort of first world problems, but they're real problems for a lot of us. How can we encourage one another in the Lord, lift each other up in the faith, give hope to the hopeless, bring healing to people who need healing? This just seems like such a need in our culture, and the church should be leading the way.
Well, you know, we've been talking about suicide, and while it's important that we think on the right things, and quoting scripture can be transforming, as we do want to mention, too, that those that are dealing with serious depression or a mental illness, that we need to understand there may be, you know, signs that the scripture alone is not going to help in a situation like that. So maybe just say a word to someone, a family member who's concerned about a brother or sister or a spouse that is maybe even talking about, you know, wondering, is my life worth anything anymore?
So it's real important to get somebody like that help and to pay attention to those conversations. And if you hear that, get somebody in with a Christian therapist who can actually look and do, and you know, we don't think about it, but do a complete physical on that person. There can be medical things that are prompting the depression. There can be side effects of medication. There can be, you know, bad coping mechanisms, maybe addiction in the person's life. All of that can lead to, you know, depression and feeling like there's no point and you're just medicating problems and not moving forward. So, you know, it does take a village of people dealing with the physical body, the emotional lives of people, the mental body, and the spiritual life. So this is a teamwork approach. When you hear of somebody that's having a problem, you need to get them involved in their faith. And I'll tell you, sometimes medication takes the edge off enough for a person to then begin to really engage in a relationship with God. Sometimes the medication can give that mood a boost and a lift, and then the person can begin to feel the presence of God and encounter God. I know God is there, but sometimes it's hard to engage with that. And it can take the edge off of the thinking and working on renewing your mind. You know, all of those things put together is a plan that people have to have. So you have to get help. You have to get working with a physician, a mental health professional, somebody in the church, a chaplain, a spiritual advisor, a leader, all of those people on a team to sort of triple team the person with the kind of help that they need to have their hands lifted up in a time when they're feeling like there's no hope. We've got to give hope to people. We've got to help them see that there's always a way of escape. That's Jesus's promise to us.
And again, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is a toll-free number, 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255. And as you say, Linda, and anybody else will tell you, if you hear someone talking about death, take them seriously, right?
Right, and get them help. And again, depression is treatable. We can work with this. We can work with somebody who has a terrible feeling about who they are and thinks they're a burden. We can work with that person in therapy and help them understand who they are in Christ and how important they are to the people around them. One of the things I used to tell patients that were suicidal with me is, you feel like you're a burden now to people, but if you end your life, it is very difficult for family members to get over that and to go on and not have some kind of guilt or some wondering of what they could do. You're really not relieving them of the burden. They would rather have you living and work through what you feel is related to the burdening and get help with that. Because again, there are things we can do to help with when people are feeling that down and that despairing.
Dr. Linda Mental, wise advice as always. I always appreciate the opportunity to have her on the morning show with us. Linda, have a wonderful day and a great week ahead, and we'll look forward to hearing you next weekend.
All right, and thanks for bringing attention to this and continuing to remind us that there are lonely people out there that we can pray for, that we can connect with, and we can get them connected to people who can help them. Thanks, Neil.
Dr. Linda Mental joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings, 27 past the hour. And speaking of feeling like it's a burden, maybe you're dealing with or have dealt with issues of unexpected pregnancy. Coming up in a moment, John Stonestreet will react to a New York Times editorial, and it's going to talk about abortion, why abortion should be unthinkable. We'll get to that in a minute. Thirty-two past the hour, and folks in near Durango, Colorado, are being evacuated. 16,000 acres scorched, and that fire, the 416 fire, burning doubled size over the weekend, putting folks in harm's way there. The 10th anniversary of the 2008 flood in Cedar Rapids being remembered at a variety of events this week. And tomorrow's primary election day throughout North Dakota. A couple of things going on in the news. We'll check news in a moment. And then we're going to talk about the news from Canada, the G7 summit. David Aikman will get some reaction to that, or give some reaction to that. We'll also preview the meetings in Singapore. David Aikman is guest coming up on Faith Radio Mornings in about 10 minutes. 37 past the hour. Spending some time today thinking about hope for broken families, as we hear from Jackson Dunn, who is director of marriage and family formation at Focus on the Family. He grew up in a broken home, and he said, we need to be on guard against the lure of an affair. Jackson shares what he believes were some factors that led his father into adultery.
I think sometimes the busyness and the distraction of doing ministry can cause us to neglect those closest to us. And I think there we all have our thorns. We all have those things, whether it be addictive behavior, whether it be the infidelity or the different things that we really have to guard against. I think it was a perfect storm of those things, especially. And I'm convinced with the impact and influences that he was having, that I think we are more in the bullseye of the one who wants to steal and to kill and to destroy what God has been doing through us. And so I think when you put those things together, it was a bit of all of that.
Jackson Dunn from Focus on the Family, talking hope for the broken families. And you can listen to that full interview by going to myfaithradio.com and then search for children and divorce and get an update on that. Be encouraged and pass it on to a friend. You'll find out all sorts of great information and resources available every day on myfaithradio.com. Lots in the news to talk about, and we'll get our foreign affairs analyst, Dr. David Aikman, on the line in a minute to talk about what's going on in Singapore. We'll talk about the G7 and more. Stay tuned. Faith Radio Mornings.
Years ago, I took a job under a boss who was a great guy, but he required perfection from his employees. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. The job taught me a lot, but the internal and external pressure to be perfect was overwhelming. My boss used spiritual motivators to convince me that programs had to be run smoothly and relationships were never to have conflict. You know what that led to? Burnout. And I even found myself lying to my boss just to appear perfect. No one is perfect. And when we demand perfection from our teens, we just push them to lie or worse, damage the relationship. Let's ease up on our demands and give a little wiggle room for imperfection.
There's much more encouragement for parents from Mark Gregston online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
All right, 20 minutes before top of the hour, and with that, we open up our conversation with Dr. David Aikman. David's best-selling, he's a former journalist, best-selling author, a foreign affairs analyst, and good friend of Faith Radio. I always love talking with David. Good morning. Actually, good afternoon to you, I guess, David. Good to have you back on.
Good afternoon, Neil. Yeah, well, good morning to you, as you prefer. So that's fine.
I noted that it was on this date in 1987, Margaret Thatcher became the first British prime minister in 160 years to win a third consecutive term in office. We could use Maggie Thatcher handling some of the big issues of our day, couldn't we?
Well, indeed, yes. She had a certain oomph behind her leadership, which was incredible.
Well, President Trump, I don't know if oomph is the right word, but he showed up late to the G7, and he left early, and At the end of it, he was saying he was backstabbed. It didn't seem like it was a very positive gathering. What's your assessment?
It certainly wasn't. I mean, Trump, obviously, I think, was preoccupied by what's coming up this week in Singapore with North Korea. He's really irritated by the Europeans, particularly the G7, for in various cases having imposed quite severe tariffs on American imports from the United States. And he thinks the balance of trade is totally one-sided in the U.S.'s relations with most of the G7 members, especially the European ones. And that's something he just is very irritated about. And when Trump gets irritated, he gets a bit careless in how he describes people, and he can be actually quite rude, whether intentionally or not. And that's certainly what happened in Quebec last week.
I don't know if I fully understood the issues, but of course over the weekend all the news reports were talking about, well, the president was backstabbed, America was backstabbed. They didn't agree on tariffs anyway. So what was the where did that happen? What was the dishonest part here?
What annoyed Trump was that Justin Trudeau made this very sort of what I think Trump thought was a very rude, insulting comment at the farewell press meeting of the G7 after Trump had already returned to the U.S. and just sort of implied that Trump had, you know, basically let everybody down and departed without any kind of agreement. And President Trump likes to have bilateral agreements with everybody in the world. He really detests these multilateral meetings where everybody is on the same page and the same plate. And I think it irritated him that Trudeau sort of basically categorized him as an outlier, somebody who wasn't part of the club anymore by taking this very forceful stance on tariffs.
Used to be the G8, and now the French president says, well, he doesn't mind being G6, suggesting that they don't need the U.S. Does the U.S. need this collaboration?
Well, it has in the past been useful, especially when the United States and its allies has needed forceful opposition to some adversary like Russia or before that the Soviet Union. And the assumption has always been that most of the Western nations of Europe and as far as Asia goes, Japan, will be on board with the major strategic issues facing Western democratic societies. And then what used to be the G7 was enlarged to the G8 with the introduction of Russia. And one of the interesting things that Trump suggested was that Russia be invited back to the group, which caused great antagonism amongst most of the G7 members there, because they think, well, they regard the expulsion of Russia from the G8 as a consequence of Russia doing something illegal, like invading Ukraine or invading annexing Crimea. So Russia has been on the bad boys list, and it really irritates the G7 that Trump has sort of all by himself said, well, actually, we should allow Russia back in the mix. Of course, Russia will be very pleased. Whether Putin acknowledges that, I don't know.
Well, speaking of bad boys list, coming up in a moment, we'll talk about the president's meeting with Kim Jong-un. That's going to take place in just hours in Singapore. We'll get David Aikman's perspective and insight on that. Dr. David Aikman, our foreign affairs and analyst here on Faith Radio Mornings. Glad to have him with us. It's 46 past the hour, and there's more coming up in a moment. Dr. David Aikman with us on Faith Radio Mornings. And we're talking, as much of the world is focused on Singapore, where President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un are preparing for a historic summit. It seems, David, that there has been high expectations, but also kind of at the same time, maybe lowered expectations. What will likely come out, and what should we expect?
Well, I think most people who observe North Korea quite closely are hopeful that if not a complete agreement on denuclearization, a partial start of an agreement can be forged that will pave the way for step-by-step verifiable denuclearization of North Korea. And along with that, probably, certainly the North Koreans hope, the United States will progressively relax all the sanctions on North Korea and perhaps help North Korea develop the kind of Chinese model of modified capitalist development that transformed China from a desperately poor society to an incredibly prosperous one. And the Chinese have been lecturing North Korea for years about trying a different model because the Chinese still have complete political control. So the argument that an economic relaxation might lead to political relaxation is not necessarily true. So I'm sure that the North Koreans hope to get something economically out of this, and the rest of the world hopes that the great tension between North Korea and the United States will finally be lifted from the possibility of nuclear war breaking out in Asia.
No doubt there's some risks involved here, right? But this is still a monumental accomplishment just getting to the table for this president.
It absolutely is. And one of the most extraordinary factors in this whole operation is the presence of Dennis Rodman,
yes,
the basketball player who's been a sort of jokester but has been very popular with the North Korean regime, not only of Kim Jong-un but of his father Kim Jong-il. So it's hoped that the jokester that Rodman is could add not only a moment of levity to the proceedings, but actually a moment of sort of fairly serious humanity. At least that's what people are praying for.
If there is, you know, some progress or at least steps toward denuclearization, will that become a major foreign policy accomplishment for the president, or will there be criticisms that he's still not doing enough?
Well, there'll always be criticisms of President Trump, from the never-Trumpers on the conservative right and from the progressives on the left who think he is the apotheosis of everything good about American politics, namely the Democratic Party, as they hope. So nobody is going to be content on the left-hand side of the political equation if Trump does pull something off. But I think it has to be seen that if anything significant is set in motion and accomplished, let alone anything really sort of dramatic and long-lasting like trade agreements as well as denuclearization agreements, I think it will have to be we'll have to give complete credit for Trump for having pulled this thing off, because his unconventional diplomacy infuriates everybody. but sometimes it actually seems to work.
Yeah, well, it certainly has brought us to this place. Will China go along, you think, with whatever agreements are there? And obviously, you've studied China for a long time. What is there? Are they playing a big role in the background?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think China basically patted Kim Jong-un on the back and said, go ahead, young man. You know, we think you're going to be okay. We think we can control Trump, or at least prevent him doing any lasting damage to you. And there's no question that Kim Jong-un would not have been able to go to this meeting in Singapore unless the Chinese had been right alongside him, and that's what they are.
Hey, got a couple minutes left, David. Let's talk about Jordan. Jordan's capital facing some protests. They're concerned about economics and the possibility of a significant tax raising there. What's happening in Jordan?
Well, Jordan is a very interesting country because it's the only frontline Arab country with Israel, apart from Egypt, that has very good relations with Israel and, of course, complete diplomatic relations too. But Jordan is composed of almost 50% of the population who are Palestinians. So there is a dynamic in Jordanian politics which is very unpredictable and can play havoc with the best laid plans for Jordan's foreign policy. I think Jordan will weather the current unrest, but it certainly doesn't give any friendly feelings in the stomach to King Abdullah as he tries to preside over this.
The challenge of so many, it seems like, countries in the Middle East is there is just there's not enough work and not enough resources, lots of poverty, and that seems to add to the unrest.
Well, that's true. And, of course, with the problem in Gaza at the moment with large numbers of Palestinians basically trying to ram their way across the fence to penetrate Israel, supposedly to recover property or land that was taken from them when Israel was created in 1948. This has obscured the fact that Israel has a very successful economy and could play an incredibly big role in sort of increasing the prosperity of its Arab neighbors, including, of course, the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. And the tragedy is that the possibilities of really good economic cooperation, which would raise living standards immeasurably of Palestinians and other Arabs living in the areas adjacent to Israel, those possibilities are set completely null and void when such an aggressive attitude is taken towards Israel's borders from the Palestinians in the south.
We always love getting updates on the world in which we live and following the news closely. Dr. David Aikman, our foreign affairs analyst here at Faith Radio Mornings. David, I always appreciate talking with you and wish you a good week. We're looking forward to our next chat.
Thank you very much, Neil. I hope you have a great week, too.
All right. We've got about 3 minutes to go before we wrap up the show, so we'll do that in just a minute. Stand by. Thanks so much for tuning in to Faith Radio Mornings. What a great hour to get insight and perspective that you don't find anywhere else. Dr. Linda Mental giving us some counsel on the rise in suicides in our nation. And Dr. David Aikman joining us, talking about the G7 summit and the gathering in Singapore today. And remember to pray. Open Doors USA is holding a day of prayer ahead of the meeting between U.S. and North Korea, so you can find out about that opendoorsusa.org/pray-for-North-Korea. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and have a great day.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.